everyone. Welcome to the Deeper Waters podcast. My name is Brandon, and today I have a very special guest with me. He is the youth pastor here at Riverside Church in Big Lake, Minnesota, one of our alliance churches that's part of our district, and he does a lot, like teaching at Crown, right?
Yeah, I teach at Crown College, and I'm here full-time, and I do other things. But right now we're doing this, which I'm excited for.
Right. Yeah. And so I'm very thankful that, Tony, you said yes to doing this.
Yeah.
And bring some wisdom and a different perspective of what we're going through as a church from someone who's not in the middle of it. So I'm glad to hear what you have and the wisdom that you bring. So, yeah. But before we get into that, just some announcements for you guys is that this Sunday, continuing with Impact, see you Sunday night. Wilbert will be preaching the word, so you should come and hear him because he always has good things to say. And no, tonight, if you're listening on this Wednesday, there's no hangout tonight because we're planning for winter camp, so you should be excited about that. So no hangout tonight, and then in 2 weeks, so not this Sunday, but the Sunday after, there's a baptism event. Sunday morning at the church. And so if you're looking to get baptized, I encourage you to sign up online or talk to Andrea or I. Or if you've already been baptized, come and celebrate those that are choosing to say yes to Jesus and take that next step. Great. That's all the announcements. I like it when they're short announcements.
That's pretty good. Those are good announcements too. Like baptism, legit. That's pretty good.
Yeah. And so I know there's a few of you that's talked about it. Tony just said you should do it. So.
Yeah, you should do it. I know that moment, and it's such a great moment, and inviting your family to be a part of that, I mean, there's nothing like it.
Wow. Great. So, going on, we don't have a song for this week. That's on me, guys. I'm sorry. But that's what would create more time to talk about the sermon, what you guys actually want to hear about. But we usually start with a fun question.
Sure.
And I'll have you answer this kind of any way you want. I left this open-ended. But do you have any kind of sacrifice story that you have personal experience of, like, sacrificing something?
Yeah, I think sacrifice is such a cool word because usually when we think of it, it's dramatic and big and, you know, like you're giving up this massive thing in your life. But sometimes sacrifices are little things. And I think of years ago, so a while ago, when I was in high school, I had come to know Jesus and I was growing and it was really cool. And I remember the first time I really felt a big difference. So I had actually gone to like a winter camp that our church was hosting and I let one of my buddies borrow my car for the weekend. So for me, that was a sacrifice. I'm like, okay, this is like a really, it was a Mustang. Like I'd spent money on it. It was good. And when I came back, he kind of took me aside and he goes, all right. So really sorry, but there's a dent in your car. And he goes, so we were at this parking lot. We were hanging out, Chris and I, one of our other friends. And he goes, and this guy just like, he backed up. And before I could get his license plate, he took off. And he's like, I'm really sorry. He was like super stressed about it. And I remember it was one of the first times in my life that I didn't care about what had happened to a thing that I owned. And I was like, are you okay? And he's like, yeah, I'm good. I'm like, okay. He goes, but like, just, you know, there's a dent in your car. And I said, I know I got that, but as long as you're okay, it's fine. He goes, no, you don't understand. There's a dent in your car. And I said, no, I do understand. I'm not worried about it. He goes, how are you not worried about it? Like, I know how much money you spent on that car. So we had this kind of back and forth and he left. And there was this really weird vibe in the room, really weird vibe in the conversation. He came back about 2 hours later. He goes, all right, I was totally lying to you. He goes, nobody hit the car. I was just careless with it. And I ran into a pole when I was backing out of a parking spot. And I'm like, okay. He goes, what do you mean, okay? I'm like, I don't know. I'm seriously, like, I'm fine with this. And he goes, how can you be fine with it? I'm like, I don't know. I think God's, like, expanding my world a little bit more. Like, maybe cars don't matter as much as I thought they did. And so I think sacrifice can be a big, dramatic something. But sometimes it could just simply be you have a more open spirit to God and things that could have caused you stress or made you worry don't. And I love that because for me, that was a catalyst for that guy starting to come to church because he saw the sacrifice in my spirit, like the willingness to say, this really doesn't matter. And he started coming to church. He got saved. Like, and we're still friends to this day. And like, he has a growing faith. It all came back to me not caring about my car. So wow, it's so good.
That
yeah.
is awesome.
Yeah.
So I think that's a great segue. And the topic for today, or if you weren't here this past weekend, is we give up things we love.
Hmm.
And you obviously invested a lot into this nice Mustang.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, you probably did, at still, even though there was a dent in it, still had a love type thing for this car. And for you to just be like, yeah, it's material.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
That's hard.
Yeah.
We live, especially in today's world where we live in such a material world. Like,
mm-hmm.
we even think about what the season that's coming up, right? Christmas.
Yeah.
Like, it's all about, what am I going to get? What am I going to get under the tree? You know, yeah. what did Santa bring this year? Or what can I buy or whatever? And it's all about the material. And we often, like, there's that cheesy, you know, the cheesy line, the reason for the season.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's super cheesy, but it's also true,
hmm.
right? Like, it's said for a reason. And, like, Jesus and what he has for us, the hope he has for us, is so much bigger than anything that we have. And in your story, I wanted to transition to the next point, and it's just this question of, like, all right, is there a way we can love without giving anything? You know, is that actually like, for you, you're giving up your selfishness of caring about this material thing over your friend. You were caring more about your friend than the car. Is there a way you can love someone like that without giving something up?
Yeah, I think, what a penetrating question, because we use that word love so freely. Like, I love tacos, I love my dog, I love this, I love this. And I've just learned over the years that I need to use that word sparingly. I need to only use it when I'm going to back it up. And so I'm super careful about using that love word for, like, oh, I love the latest whatever movie that came out. And rather, I like that movie, or I'm excited about that movie. Like, just changing my language, because I want to back up the word love with something from me. So I don't think you can love without giving. But here's what's really cool is the flip side of this. You can be loved, especially by God, without giving. And if you were, like, suddenly incapacitated, like if you got into a car accident and you can't move, you can't do anything, you are limited to a hospital bed for the rest of your life. God's love for you would not change, even though you couldn't give him anything else, even though you couldn't go out and serve, even though you couldn't go out and do a whole bunch of good deeds. God's love for you can be received without you ever giving anything. But the crazy thing is when you do give him love back, when you do give him your life, now you get to experience that. Like, his love is offered to you, but you can't experience it until you choose to engage him. And so I don't think you can love without giving, but you can be loved without giving. But when you decide to reciprocate, when you decide to give back to that love, man, that's an amazing collision right there.
You had a lot of good one-liners. I feel like can all go on t-shirts.
Well, let's print those up and copyright them. Yes.
That is, and we even think about the love that Jesus has for us, right? Like, he made the ultimate sacrificing play for us. And we look at, I think it's in Philippians, where Paul is describing, like, the type of love that Jesus has for us is the type of love where God took on flesh and came and died in our place so that we can have life and life to the fullest. And that's this crazy love that, like, that we get to make and that we get to do. And so you talked about that kind of love that's, like, going back to God, like, loving God. What does that, like, look like?
You know, I think that's a great question that I'm trying to figure out every day, because I think every day it should look a little different than it did the day before. If I'm just on repeat with God, then I don't know how much I'm putting behind it. And this is something that I've had the privilege over the years of doing different things. You know, here I'm a student ministries pastor. My last church, I was a senior pastor for about 10 years. And I would hear from different people of different ages, adults, teenagers. I would hear the story of, yeah, I've been a Christian for, you know, 5 years, 10 years, 50 years, whatever the case would be. And in some people, I really believed it. In other people, I'm like, you know what? I think you maybe grew with Jesus for a few years, and then you just have hit repeat ever since. So you got to be really careful. I'm not trying to judge people when I say that. I'm just trying to evaluate and go, it feels like you haven't really grown past maybe year 3 or year 4, from what I can tell in your faith, So we got to be really careful with that journey with God, because growing with him, I think, is like, if I'm saying yes to Jesus a little faster than I did yesterday, if I'm saying no to sin, maybe a little faster than I did yesterday, those are possible checkpoints. But I think in the end, it comes down to, is my love for God and is my love for other people growing? And you gotta, like, that's the real question. And that's a fuzzy, that's hard to quantify. So I think you just have to kind of go, well, I don't know if it is, but I want it to, and maybe the desire to is going to push me toward it. So in the end, I just want to be a growing Christian. I don't want to keep track of how many years I've been growing. I just want to know that today I grew a little bit more than I did yesterday.
And I think too, like, we've been mentioning this on this podcast, and I've been talking to a bunch of you guys individually about this, but this is a total journey.
Hmm.
Like, there is no pressure, there's no expectation for you to get it right. And I use quotes for those that are just listening, like, to get it right tomorrow or today. Like, there's, Jesus doesn't expect you to ever be perfect, like, tomorrow, the next day, in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, well, whenever.
Yeah.
Like, there's just no way. But his desire for us is to desire to love him and to be with him every day. And to grow in that, and like you said, to, am I saying yes to Jesus faster? Am I saying no to sin quicker? And like, when we are seeing those steps, it's not that we've made it, but we're still straining towards the goal that he has for us. And that goal is to know him.
Mm-hmm.
And to know him. And it's not necessarily like, growing isn't just being like, oh, you know, I gave tithe this month, and I didn't hit my sister as hard this month.
right. Yeah.
And it's, you know, I read my, and it's not even a checklist too of like, I read my Bible every day this week. And if you did, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you did. But if you're doing it out of the mindset of just like, you know, I'm just checking the box, instead of just, hey man, I got to be with Jesus 7 times this week.
Mm-hmm.
That's, there's a clear difference in that. And that difference is that growth. And if for you to get to there, and it's like, okay, I need to check some boxes so I can get there, praise God, let's have you be on that journey. But let's remember too that the world may have a bunch of expectations from you, but Jesus just wants you to be next to him, and he's going to help you along that way. So
that's so good. I love that. And I think what you're really hitting on there is we can really be our worst critics. You know, like, we could be like, man, I had a really good update with Jesus, like, 2 days ago. And then, but in the last 2 days, last 48 hours, I've been making horrible choices. So I guess I never really had that moment with Jesus. It's like, no, hang on a second. Celebrate what you did. Celebrate the good that you did and enjoy that. Like, I think one of the things we forget to do with God is to just enjoy him and to, like, just stop and appreciate him. Like, God, you're so good. Like, you made this thing, you made that thing. And, you know, like, I'm just grateful to you. And I think when we do those little moments throughout the day, then the really big moment's kind of a big deal. I was reading in Genesis. I love Genesis 1 and 2. I've just been so captivated by it over the years. But I found something new in it recently. I'm like, there's always something new when you read the Bible, right? But so, you know, God creates the world. And then on the seventh day, we read that he rests. And so we have this rhythm of Sabbath that we understand and we appreciate and we do. But what I noticed is he doesn't just Sabbath on the seventh day. He takes a little break all throughout those 6 days of creation where he just stops and he looks and he says, it is good. You know, the Bible specifically says, and it was good and it was good. And so we see that God isn't just waiting until this one day out of the week to enjoy what he's made. It's an everyday thing and it's all throughout the day. And I'm like, okay, so there we go. So Sabbath is, it's an ongoing rhythm. It's the moments where you just stop and you slow down and you go, oh God, this is so good. Like, God, thank you. This is so good. And to build that relationship with him.
I think about, and this story has been coming up, I would say throughout the past year or so, especially with you guys that are listening, but the story of Mary and Martha with Jesus. And Martha, what's Martha doing? Martha's going around and working like crazy and preparing the place for Jesus. But Mary is at his feet.
Mm-hmm.
And who was corrected? Martha was corrected.
Yeah.
And Jesus told her that Mary is exactly where she needs to be. And we often get caught up, and especially in our busy culture that we live in that high expectation culture, high achieving culture, that we want to feel like we got to do everything. We got to do everything for Jesus. And like you said, like, are we taking moments of just appreciating and being thankful for who God is?
Yeah.
And what he has already done. And like, are we stopping? And like, I hope you guys looked this past few weeks. I know fall's kind of away now, but the leaves were beautiful. Just driving around, my wife and I, like Heidi and I, were just like, wow, that tree is red. Like, I don't know if you saw it, but that tree, there's just, it was amazing to see. And now the snow's out, so
I'll celebrate that.
I'm one who celebrates that, but yeah. I don't know if you are. But
I like summer. I'm a summer guy. But yeah, I know what you're saying. It's, there's so, there's always something to appreciate. And I think you mentioned Mary and Martha. We just taught here recently on Cain and Abel, and you know, the first murder in the Bible. And I've always, again, reading Genesis, I'm like, okay, what's going on here? And what I noticed recently is that the difference between Cain's sacrifice and Abel's sacrifice, because they're both allegedly giving something to God. It isn't until you read like Hebrews and a couple other passages like Romans where you realize that Abel's sacrifice was based out of faith. And it doesn't say that Cain's sacrifice came from a place of faith. It just, he was making sacrifices, but it didn't, again, according to all the scriptures, it isn't that his sacrifice in itself was bad. It definitely wasn't the first fruits, but he just wasn't doing it to build his relationship with God. He was doing it maybe to just do it. Maybe mom or dad said, hey, we messed up in the garden. You guys better make sacrifices every day. So sometimes what appears to be a sacrifice for us is just a rhythm of tradition. And we got to get back to the heart of it and go, am I building my relationship with God through what I'm doing? Am I, you know, like when you have your students that come for ministry, is everybody coming to grow with God? Or are we just coming because we do it every week? And it's a great question we all have to ask ourselves.
So that brings up a good point. And I want to ask you, Ken, what a great example for this, right? And would you say that Cain was having a heart of like, I have to sacrifice versus I get to sacrifice?
You know, the truth is, like, I'm always careful when we don't know what somebody's thinking. Right. You know, sometimes, you know, when you hear in a message, well, this is what was going on. I was like, this could be what was going on. I'm a speculator. I like to speculate. So it could be that. It could be that he was just, like I was saying, doing it out of the tradition of mom and dad saying, we got to do this because we messed up. It could have been that his heart wasn't in it. It could be that he honestly was like, you know, I'm gonna give what I think is important, but I think other things are important. I'm gonna hang on to I'll give God the turnips and the radishes and the cabbage, but I'm gonna hang on to the apples and the oranges. Like, it could have been I'll give God the bare minimum. Whatever he was doing, what I think is really important is God intercepts that and he tries to get his attention on it. And he's like, listen, dude, if you don't change whatever's going on, if you don't change, sin is literally crouching at your door. And then, like, after that, the very next verse says, so Cain had his brother go out into the field and he attacked him and murdered him. Like, even though God got his attention on it, he just ignored it. And it's, I think that right there is evidence to, he has a communication with God. God is speaking to him. He's listening, but he's not obeying. He's not following through. And I think that's the pivot. Like, if you want to know if you're growing, when God puts something on your heart, do you want to do something with it? Or do you just want to go, yeah, whatever, I'm going to do my own thing anyway? And I think that was Cain's sin. Is he killed his brother, but before that, he ignored the opportunity God gave him to change.
And that's probably got to be, you know, we're looking back on that, and we're thinking for now today and how we walk. And we know, like, the enemy, he is not here to help us. He's not here to be for us. He's here to hurt us.
Yeah.
And I was talking to teaching the third and fourth grade boys at Awana a couple weeks ago. And we were talking about that in the armor of God and how to fight. And then I think about, too, there's that. But then I think about David, who king, anybody could have sacrificed, but he chose to sacrifice something.
Yeah.
Right. Himself. So it's worship to God. And so I ask, how can we, if we're not yet in a mindset of, I have to do this. I have to come to church. I have to give up time. I have to give up maybe sleep to be with Jesus. How can I change from I got to do this to I get to wake up early in the morning. I get to come to church on a Sunday morning or Sunday night. Or I get to serve at Awana on a Wednesday night. Like, what is that? How can that mindset change?
Yeah. You know, I don't know if you guys have this in your life where there are certain grooves that you live in where you wake up and there's the groove of school and you gotta You know, so you get up and you do your routine and you go there and you do it and you leave. And then there's the groove of family. You know, we have so many meals together in a week, and or maybe we don't. And so I think we live life more according to grooves than we do growth. We're like, hey, these are the rails I got to go on. We do with our friends. You know, I'm hanging out with my friends. What are you doing? Oh, we're just scrolling. We're hanging out. Like, there's that. So I think when you choose to live life differently, when you say, you know what, I am going to do the things that I need to do, but today when I go to school, .. or today when I go to the gym, .. like, I'm going to try a new exercise. I'm going to change my routine, or whatever the case would be. I think it's really important that we introduce new things into our life, because one, God's given those things to us. He wants us to explore them. But then to bring that into our spiritual journey and say, okay, like, how do I make all the things that I'm doing a spiritual thing? Because they are. Like, when you go to the gym, when you go to school, it's not that there's your spiritual life and there's all these other areas. Mm-hmm. It's going in and going, hey, all things can be spiritual if I choose to make them. So I think that's honestly one of the best opportunities we have, is to just see everything, to see our grooves and go, I might need to stay on that habit, that rhythm, because I got to work at 5 or whatever the case would be. But what if I went into work a little bit more aware of this being a spiritual opportunity? And I think that goes back to what we were saying earlier. Like, if you're slowing down and appreciating God and letting him surprise you, or just letting him love you, then I think you go into those new spaces with more of a get-to attitude and less of a have-to. Even church sometimes can feel like a have-to. And I'm saying that as a pastor, right? You know, like, right. You know, I'm sure you have that too, where you're like, oh, I have to get up and go there and be there early and all that stuff, versus, you know what, God, please change my attitude, because right now I'm feeling like I have to do this, but I'm sure you're going to surprise me and I want to appreciate the people I meet. So, like, it's just checking yourself and bringing surprise and spontaneity into it. One of my favorite things to do, I don't know if you guys do this, but, like, I love sitting in different places in a room, like, not just sitting in the same space. I love going to a restaurant and trying new things on the menu, not just trying the same things, because I feel like if I do that in those spaces, and it's not things that are make me feel bad or guilty, but, like, good things, then with God, I'm a little bit more playful as well. So be playful with God. I think the more we do that in everyday areas, the more the things we have to do become get-tos.
I like the idea of being playful with God. Hmm? I like to think, and obviously there's no biblical backing on this, so there's nothing that says this is true. This is just my own imagination and creativity coming out. Hmm. But I like to think on the seventh day, Jesus went whitewater rafting down the Nile.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Because I can't imagine that he created the world in 6 days and then didn't go and enjoy it. Like,
yeah.
And as part of, like, for me, like, a restful Sabbath day for me would be whitewater rafting. I love it. It's so fun.
That's really interesting.
For others, that night might be, like, the worst day ever.
Yeah.
But for me, it's filling to the soul. So I like that you mentioned playful.
So I have a theological question for you then. So let's say you go go-karting with Jesus, and the rule is no bumping. Do you think Jesus would bump you? And, you know, that could be a question you ask your students, like, to follow up.
Yeah.
If you go go-karting with Jesus, is he going to be bumping into you when he's not supposed to be? Because you can make arguments both ways, right? It's like, well, he's going to follow the rules. He's Jesus, versus, you know how many times Jesus just upset the apple cart of rules, like, in the scripture? So, I don't know. Would Jesus bump you or not?
I think we'd go to the next go-karting place.
Jesus Christ has been evicted from the Big Chief go-karts in Wisconsin Dells. I got kicked out of a water park once, my buddies and I. We were in Wisconsin Dells, and we were going down this, it used to be called the Plunge. And there were two dips to the plunge, and what would happen is, if you pushed off on the first, like, dip, the first hill, you could soar a little bit down, and then before the next hill would happen, and they would kick people out of doing this, of who were doing this in the park. So my buddies and I, we drove up from Chicago, where I was living, and my friend Todd, he was a big dude, and so we're like, well, let's see if Todd can do this or not. And so he goes down, and he was a strong man. He pushed himself off, and he skipped the second hill. He landed at the bottom, and we're like, Todd is dead. Like, you're so scared. Is he moving? He wasn't moving. And then, like, after, like, 30 seconds, he just rolls over. He goes, yeah. And then we hear, would all the gentlemen from such and such church leave Wisconsin? It was bad. So, boy, that was a good tangent.
Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah.
Jesus will drive ride go-karts. Will you bump? I'll let you decide.
Yeah.
Comment on Podbean, Spotify. I don't know, Spotify, you can do comments. Hmm. But you can DM us on our Instagram. Find me on Sunday night or Andrew or whoever and let us know. Maybe DM right here.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, I think that'd be fun. Just like a good theological debate. That's a good question for your friends too. Because then what's cool is if you ask your friends that question, especially your friends who aren't saved, then you get to hear who they think Jesus is, right?
Yeah.
Be like, oh, I don't know. Jesus is religious and he, you know, maybe that sash of his would get in the way of driving a go-kart.
But there's no way Jesus would ever wear jeans. That's crazy.
You think so?
I totally think he'd wear jeans.
I would expect whatever he's wearing, he's doing the shoeless like worship leader thing. You know, our worship leader here, he does wear shoes. He'd be walking around shoeless.
Jesus would wear Toms? Is
that
what you're saying?
I think he would wear something that looked like it was designer, but it was actually like probably bought at Goodwill. I think
like a knockoff Birkenstock.
Yeah, because I think whatever the case, because he lived, you know, scriptures say there would be nothing in his appearance to attract us to him. Like, I don't think he'd be a label guy, but I think he would be a practical guy. And I'm basing that on a few things, but you know, I don't know. You can argue a lot of things. You can say he probably would be relatively simple in how he slept, because he said he didn't have a place to lay his head. I don't know. Good theological Jesus questions, all from a go-kart question.
Good stuff. Well, thank you guys for listening so much. And thank you, Tony, for joining us this week. Really appreciate it. If you guys ever have any questions about what we said today or any questions at all, I want you to know that there's so many people in your life, including myself, that are here for you and want to answer those questions. And we just really care about you guys. And we love you. With that, we say go and be more like Jesus.